This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little... That was not on purpose.
Whoa, guys.
I know that my reaction to it made it seem like it was on purpose, but it wasn't.
I knew that in the first syllable, and then as you kept going, I was like...
I know.
She thinks she's doing something here.
I felt it. I felt it when I said, whoa, I was like, and now I'm the girl who pretends to faint at a choir concert.
Wait, did you see the Rachel Simmons?
Of course. Of course, and I actually
like, now I need to make a mental note. I do have to send that to Dan, because there was one band thing we did in high school where, like, they did, like, the grand opening for the new high school that, by the way, wasn't finished. And, by the way, this was in front of the part of the school that, like, truly wasn't finished.
Looked like shit.
Like, it was, like, there was a construction fence and site behind where we were all playing. And, like, there was a ribbon in front of the construction site. Anyway, so that it was, like, what was even the point of this? It was 80,000 degrees. And we're all in uniform.
Kind of extremely hot.
Yeah, we're all in uniform. And then they didn't know what to do with us after we stopped playing. And the band was behind the stage of, like, the people that were sitting and speaking. So we played, like, one thing from our show. The superintendent speaks. All these people were speaking. But they didn't know what to do with us, where to put us. Because we would have had to, like, everybody would have had to move to make way for us to go sit somewhere. So we're standing in the sun beating down on us. And Dan...
Who was it? Dan?
Dan passed out.
And you know what?
Like, his head hit the concrete.
Dan does give and the then, vibes of someone who's no, pretending right, to pass
out. It gets worse. It gets worse. I've never seen someone look more sickly than he did when this happened. And
okay.
Then they...
Where did he get the makeup so fast?
Mrs. Stockerty had to drag him.
Oh, my God. Did he not come to? Like,
not immediately.
Oh my God, Dan! Enough of that.
To drag him over there and, like, take his uniform off of him and, like, lay him down.
I mean, I'll say it. Like, by the way, this is your one and only source. We're your hosts.
My name's Phoebe.
My name's Caroline. Sorry for screwing that up. I don't want to cause any confusion here, obviously. But back to this, it was always kind of jealous of the people who fainted in choir concerts.
I knew that.
But I would literally, I have to tell you, and I feel like this segues perfectly into the episode, because we do begin essentially at a choir concert with the amazing GLAMOROUS choral version, which I was dying for Triple Trio to do. I think two things. One, I never in my life would have ever faked it. And I think it's crazy that she, one, did, and number two is admitting it. Rachel Sennett, you could not waterboard it out of me.
You know, I know that, like, Rachel Sennett is just magic, is because if any other celebrity admitted to that, it wouldn't be funny or likable or, like, enjoyable to listen to. It would be cringe as fuck. But because it's her.
I'm not going to lie. I was cringing, though. I was like.
No, because it's her. I was like, that is with Rachel Sennett's, like, personality.
Yeah.
Thinking about her. That is fucking hysterical.
And doing it over and over, too, is crazy. Like, I'm like, I just am like, I guess it's a little bit too close to home, because, like, I know that girl. And it wasn't me, but that girl did stay in my room at the Philadelphia 8th grade trip. So,
paint
a black eye on
eyeshadow.
Her. And try to tell black everyone eyes. That I gave her a black eye. So I just, like, that girl, someone I know well, and I'm like... they don't all grow up to be Rachel Sennett. You know what I mean? Anyway, I also want to say Serena Vanderwoodson has the energy of somebody who's faking fainting at a choir
concert.
No,
she's knee brace girl for sure, especially after this.
She's elevator key.
I know, like, Blair is giving that in this episode. They want her to be, but she's still not.
It's for a reason. hey, it's for a reason. And I love that's all I'll say about that.
I was about to talk about things that I liked, but let's just get into the episode.
Okay. So we have
Poison Ivy, everybody. We
sure
really
is.
This was a crazy discombobulated intro. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry if this is like the third episode you've listened to of this. Well, this is kind of what it is. So hopefully you loved it. But what I wanted to say about this episode is we sort of get like a Devil Wears Prada intro, and there's nothing I love more. You know what I mean?
I agree, but it was hard for notes. What do I mean by that?
It was what?
The way we go back and forth with a bunch of stuff.
I just didn't write it. I said, this is a Devil Wears Prada montage, and I'm just not going to go through what everyone is putting on their faces and bodies.
Okay, fair enough.
But you did?
Well, I mean, not to the detail that you're probably expecting me to since I said that.
I mean, I said a few things. One, I'm surprised by the lack of nail polish.
See, like, that's the kind of detail that I didn't write down.
Okay, so now give me a detail that you wrote down.
College decisions, walk into school, Dan and Chuck look at each other, Blair and Nate look at each other.
You are so far ahead of me now. Because they also said that Dan is giving me the ick.
Exactly.
Dan's so giving me Caroline's the ick, and he also is doing the Grinch paper towel thing. Yes. You know, the Grinch shaving thing, which makes me cry.
We just watched the Grinch. Mimi had a little holiday pajama party.
Cute.
And we watched the Grinch. And it is just like a movie that holds up. It's and Taylor so Momsen good. Is so...
And
I mean,
you're
she's so
a
much...
Jim Carrey hater, so for you to say mm-hmm. it means a lot.
I've always liked him in this. And I liked The Mask as a kid. I would probably like it now.
Let's watch it while you're
but,
home.
But what was I going to say? Taylor Momsen, she's so much cuter in this movie than I remember. She's like adorable. And her little, there are these scenes where she's wearing those pink mittens that are like clearly too big for her hands.
She's like precious. And that's, I think, why the little J transformation like hurts deeply. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's so cute and she's so pretty and she's whatever. But Dan... That part of that scene where the Grinch shaves and he cuts himself and then he goes to school and they make fun of him. Like, I actually got sick watching that. You know what I mean?
Especially
actually every time.
Fucking Mr. Mayor.
How
dare
you're
chopped
you?
As hell.
Hey, chopped as hell. You are so lucky to be with Martha May Huvier. Let me just tell you. You have no idea how much you are
punching
up, okay?
You know you're chopped. You know you're unk. When Martha's looking at little Mr. Grinch with those eyes. These weren't literal
with those eyes is so funny.
Else. You know exactly what I was gonna say.
Oh my god, I
Martha
can't,
walked like... into that classroom on Christmas on gift exchange day in her fuck me heels.
And yeah, she was in, I don't know, third grade, but, yeah, but that's what she was wearing. And it's just a fact.
She was looking at the Grinch, not the mayor. She said, I know you're gonna grow up to have weird looking fucking hair and you're gonna have curlers and a chin strap in bed. Get lost.
She's like, so I'm gonna at least be with the hot guy now while I can, okay?
and I can tell he's really gonna grow into his teeth.
I like a little edge, all right?
I like a little rump around the edges.
Jesus Christ. Okay, like I don't see color is what Martha May Huvier said.
No, literally.
Oh my god, one of Christine Baranski's best roles. I mean, truly.
Wait, so are you in of the belief that this happens in the same universe as Wicked?
No.
Cool.
I'm not, but
I just mean like, okay, I kind of needed the Grinch to walk into to Times Square of Whoville and say and say, no, I'm not seasick.
Yes,
no.
I've always been green.
I didn't eat grass as a kid. And yes, I've always been green. I'm green, get used to it.
Have you ever seen me without my green skin? Isn't that weird? Sorry, now it's a Riverdale crossover.
I missed a line. No, I'm not seasick.
Yeah, now is definitely the time to like.
No, I'm not seasick. What? Yeah, you have to know. No, I'm not seasick. No, I didn't eat grass as a kid.
As a child. Wait. Okay.
Let me get this out of the way.
No, I am not seasick. Yes. I feel like it's yes. I have always been. No, it's no, I'm not seasick. No, I didn't chew grass as a child. And yes, I have always been green.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
And then Nessa comes in and
is like, and she goes, oh my, shut the fuck up, Elphaba.
She's like, what are you doing?
Oh my, she rams into her. She's like, oh, shut up.
Yeah, I do just want to say, we watched the first half of Wicked 2. And what I will say is, like, Team Elphaba always, of course. Nessa's annoying as hell. However, I don't know if we, like, needed to get in a fight with, what's her name, Kiela? Settle?
Oh, well, she's, like, not a real character, but yeah.
Like, we don't need
to. She's not in the musical?
Yes. What I'm saying, no, but in the movie, we don't need to, like, get in a fight with her and then use our powers like fucking Eleven.
No, it was a little much. It was like, okay, I can tell you binge Stranger Things on the way over here to shiz. That's why we don't allow iPads here, okay? Because someone is going to get in her fucking head and if she can just give herself a nosebleed, everything will be fine. No! Anyway, yeah, that Grand Shaper Towel thing really broke my heart. And so now Dan's doing it doesn't have the same effect. I'm like, no, Dan, you should know how to do this.
Yeah, because the Grinch...
Hey, the Grinch is a kid and didn't have a father figure. And Dan, if there's one thing you got, it's a father figure. Let me say.
Much to my chagrin, I gotta say.
And I wish I could forget it for one freaking second.
Why couldn't this have been a woke show? Why couldn't this have been woke? You know what I want? We could have had the exact same storyline except woke. We have Mrs. Rufus in the loft and she falls in love with Lily Vanderwoodson. Lily Vanderwoodson had a little stint. She was like Marissa from the OC. She had a little tryst with a woman.
Oh my God. And that woman, yeah, was Olivia Wilde.
Whatever. And okay. Olivia Wilde is Mrs. Humphrey.
And now famously at every Thanksgiving, Lily uses Olivia Wilde salad dressing on the salad and it upsets everyone. Like it makes it weird. Time, and that's why the Thanksgiving episodes of Gossip really Girl are so revered.
One time, Lily Vanderwoodson was on Fifth Avenue laying in front of Olivia Wilde's SUV.
And a matching cream colored sweater and pants. Okay? I mean, she's getting dirty.
And she kept saying, at least leave the recipe. At least leave the recipe.
We were worried about world building. Oh my God. Oh, ay, ay, ay. So that's just like what I noticed. And then also, I noticed that Cottie and Ange are getting ready together, which is hilarious. And they both have pink and green chocolate phones. What?
Both of us at the start of this said we didn't write down any details from the beginning of this episode.
So we'll make our own. Not a problem, actually. Anywho, I do love The Wicked, though, because, you know, with the pink and green chocolate phones that Cottie and Iz have. That was kind of...
I was always kind of like, chocolate phones should be chocolate brown.
That's crazy because I was like, it is so chic and so 2000s and so the stepsisters in A Cinderella Story to have pink and green ones.
Yeah, but I'm just like that. Then that's a different phone.
I don't think it is. Like, there's chocolate of other colors. What if you just like dyed white chocolate? Hello? Like,
I don't want.
Okay. Just expand your mind. Just try it for once. Okay. So it's time for school. Phoebe did mention the look between Nate and Blair. Things are like, okay, like, girl who's going to be okay vibes. You know what I mean?
Fuck me on.
She's going to go to Yale. She's going to fuck her boyfriend, finally. She cannot stop trying. I mean, no one is trying to fuck her boyfriend more than Blair Waldorf.
No.
Blair is just absolutely.
Okay, I'll say it. Blair's a slut.
No, but Blair's famously not a slut. That's like the whole thing. She's a virgin who can't drive.
Yeah, was
Blair is like actually a virgin who can't drive, and we need to celebrate these days.
And so was Brittany Murphy at the time of that line.
Brittany, oh my God, for a second, I thought you were
Brittany Snow.
Seen Brittany Snow, yeah. And I was like, her name is Brittany Murphy, and I was like, that's what you said.
Mom and dad are pissed. Mom and dad somewhere are like, oh my God.
Mom and dad have
Brittany Snow wishes
Snow
she could act like her.
That's true. Okay, so I just am though like so confused about why like I understand like. Because it like is so amazing why Glamorous is the song that the choir is singing, but also for Ivy Week, why are we kicking it off with Glamorous by Fergie?
Only and glamorous people get into glamorous harmony. Schools.
Oh, okay, and Phoebe said it best. Okay. And that's actually famously rule of culture number 3. Only glamorous people get into glamorous schools, okay?
Yes. Yes, yes. And it's the most important week of their freaking lives.
It's a hilarious song choice, do you not?
No, like, so where's funny. The and I kind of wish they'd use this in Harry Potter.
Yes. Oh my God, me too. And you know who would have like really killed at Beauxbatons? Mr. Flitwick. At school? No. Jenny.
Wait, what did you say? What did you say?
She would have been great at Beauxbatons. But like,
oh, you're going to say? For sure. Sure.
Okay. Sure. So yeah, we're almost through with Ivy Week. And we've got the Constance Bullard girls.
I wrote and the Dan shaving boys. Issue.
Okay. Well, thank God you got there. The Gossip Girl monologue, by the way, it's happening. They're basically just talking about how, like, it's really amazing to be the parents of the fabulously wealthy, but then you actually have to, like, impress your parents, and that sucks. And so you have to
be the
Ivy.
Kids of the fabulously wealthy.
Yeah. And yes. And if you're not a legacy, the pressure is actually even worse because these parents have good sacrificed luck. Everything for their kids' futures and, like, good freaking luck. So that's kind of
a Dan-esque Gossip Girl point.
Exactly. So the Constance girls are in charge of a Friday night mixer, and the St. Jude boys have to provide the ushers for the like visiting reps from the schools at said mixer. And and the mixer is the most important event of your life. Mm-hmm. And don't forget it.
Then we go to the loft. Dan does not come out of his room like the Grinch came out from behind that rack of coats with a bag over his head. And hey, that fucking teacher.
Should lose your job. Number two, should go to jail. And I don't know. Let's explore the death penalty. Just because, like, look at the repercussions. Like, look what happened. You ruined Christmas these people. Exactly.
I hope she never forgave herself.
I hope she literally thinks about it every day. So we're having a Humphrey. It's a Humphrey morning.
It's okay. No worries. No need to worry. We can workshop it.
Okay.
So Rufus is like, you are such a well-rounded kid. And Rufus? Dan goes, well-rounded? More like well-wounded.
Oh.
That's exactly how I put when you said it.
It's a laugh riot. Rufus, Rufus stop talking challenge. How about that?
No, literally. Rufus?
Hey.
Are you like the girl with the ribbon? Like, if you take that fucking choker off, will your head fall off?
I know.
Why do you have to have that on?
I know.
Too tight.
He literally.
There's a mark on your neck when you take that off at the end of the day. I know it.
There has to be. And he's like, that's a price. The price looks
fucking
awesome.
Or a tan line because he never takes it off.
Or he can't get it off without cutting it. And he won't. Anyway, he says to Dan, you're going to do great in your interview. You take after your dad in that way. Spotlight doesn't faze us. I'm like.
And here we have Mary Beth Barone and Benito Skinner's favorite line. Ever.
And Jenny goes, ooh, you better hope there's not a spotlight involved. That's the first one. And then everyone looks
at
her and is like,
that line? Everyone doesn't get its flowers.
No, it doesn't, because it's followed up by, what? I'm your sister. It's what I do.
It's
immediately upstaged.
Exactly, but we don't have the spotlight on I'm your sister, it's what I do without the first line.
Well, exactly. We've got the setup, we've got the singer, you know?
Exactly.
But it is true, like on their own, they're each absolute stars.
I mean, and Taylor Momsen, she was practicing that in her trailer. The shoulder.
And she's got her things on the orange juice. Ooh, you better hope it's not a spotlight involved. And then when she says, I'm your sister, that's what I do, they say, not when it's about Dartmouth. So, okay. That's when you don't get to do what your sister's thing always does, Jenny.
Right.
Hey, it's all out of it.
And then we go back to this chapel, and Chuck is like trying to get Nate to leave.
Wickenburg. I'll work on my Chuck, but it's something like that.
That was pretty good, though. No, your Wickenburg. First Nathaniel was better.
Okay. And Nate's like, dude, we have interviews. Chuck's like, that's the point. I can't do it. Nate, I do want to say to you both, we can see you. You know what I mean? Like, it's actually like extremely obvious and, dare I say, disruptive to get up in the middle of this.
Yes, the most important week of your life.
Famously. And Blair is going to exchange words with you later about that. Don't be... It reflects poorly on her, and you know that.
Exactly.
You literally know that. Nate has no backbone. Good guy, Nate. No backbone, Nate. Just add it to the Nate nickname list.
Right. I will put that in the Excel sheet.
But he's feeling so much pressure. Like, Nate is feeling so much pressure from his family, but he's also feeling so much pressure to just be a fucking cool guy and have his own life.
But it's kind of pissing me off.
Yeah, because you're like, you want to smack him around and be like, grow the hell up, right? Or are you mad at everybody for like putting pressure on him?
All of it. I'm like, well, here's, I'm kind of like, Nate, relax.
Okay, I am like, Nate, you're not the only one who's like ever had pressure on you from your parents.
Right, and also like, Nate, there's like, from what I'm, word on the street is your grades aren't that great. You might not even have to worry about this come May 1st.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing, isn't it?
Right, exactly. It's a commentary on everything.
It's such a commentary.
Then we go to Central Park.
Just like this racing scene.
I hate it.
I hate the captain. You cut me off! And Nate's like, no, I just won the race. He's like,
me and
win
Dad,
fair and square, and then I'll be proud.
Me and Dad coming home from my guitar lessons and me cutting across the front yard.
Dad's like, hey, not fair, not fair. We're starting again, and I get a head start this time.
This time we're running around the block.
Yeah. Up, and we're going up the big hill, okay? Not down. But Nate's like, I don't want to go to Dartmouth. I don't know if it's like my legacy. And Captain says, your mother and I didn't work this hard, so you can make things up while you go along. Dartmouth, law school, Blair. There you go.
I didn't like his crazy eyes when he said Blair.
I know. I'm like, you're obsessed with her. Why do you want her so close to you? You're going to leave your wife for her? That's crazy, Captain.
It's crazy.
Okay. It is kind of a bummer that we're like, we low key, if Dad's ever.
But I'm just saying.
What'd you say?
It's giving Andrew Winchester. Oh, no, I wasn't telling you I haven't finished.
Oh, I thought you were. I fully was like, oh, my God.
I said something about a book, and I was afraid I was making it seem like I'd read more of the book than I have.
The Housemaid, which you famously like just cannot get through, but you did notice what I noticed, which is that
Freedom of Fat and Loves Calling People Fat. I'm 100 pages in. I've only had it for a week.
Okay, well, I finished the second one in like 48 hours tops.
Okay, well, I can't read all the time.
Right. And I can. I've got nothing but time to read, famously. Everyone knows that.
No, but I mean, just like, I haven't found the time to read, you know,
whatever. I am just like a really fast reader. More
I've
fast
only
than you.
Picked it up like three times and I'm 100 pages in. Relax.
Okay. Well, they're only like 10 words on each page and they're like at a third grade reading level.
That's not true. There are more words, but you're right about the reading level.
Freda McFadden literally is obsessed with saying you're fat. And here's my thing about it.
Wait, the line where Millie's like cleaning up the house after like a night. And she goes, and I keep finding these candy wrappers everywhere. No wonder she is at least 50 pounds heavier.
She's a fat piece of lard. No. She's like, ooh, I can barely look at her. And it's like, yeah, she's a bitch, but the worst thing, she jiggles when she pops. Like, she's so fucking fat. That is literally what it feels like reading the book. Am I internalizing? No.
No, but also what it feels like reading this book, it's like, okay, this is AO3.com fan fiction. The way that they're, like, the moments where Nina, like, really freaks out on Millie, sometimes the way that she writes things, like there's this one scene where Millie's like, I would never, like, me and Andrew would never do anything, and she like freaks out and she goes, oh, I know, and then she, like, the way that she phrases everything in her wording, I'm like, this is like what I wrote on like my mom's computer in third grade.
And when I was like, here's where you find out Phoebe wrote under a pen name, Freda McFadden. We're about to get sued. No, but it is. And wait, I keep forgetting, you're only 100 pages in, so you actually probably don't know what happens.
No, I don't know. But I hear it's crazy.
Okay, then I do need to shut my mouth a little bit, because you're
going
to...
I'm trying to finish before my birthday. I'm going to go see it.
You need to. You really need to, because the twist is going to hit so hard, dude. Like, that's the thing. It's a crazy twist, and you will...
I'm never going to see it coming.
No, you're not. You're literally not. So you have to finish it. And it's, or at least get to that part so that you can, like,
is it like at the end that the twist is?
No, it's like, I would say it's like halfway. So you just like And if you can get 100 more pages, I bet you'll know it. And you got to do it before the movie comes out, because even if not even for you seeing it, just because like it'll be spoiled in 1 second. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it is so funny. It's like, Millie's like, this bitch is the worst, but the worst thing about her is her BMI. Like, and I don't even know if Freedom McFadden knows she's doing it, but it is well, you know, she's a doctor. Well, yeah. And I think that she's like, this was the first book my book group read, and I brought this up, and everyone was like, I didn't see that. And I was like, okay, well, it's okay,
you're giving,
like,
giving the PTA mothers.
Then I was like, okay, well, good news for you. I bookmarked pages.
As soon as Nina leaves at the book club meeting or the PTA meeting, and they're like, oh my God, how many more of these hors d'oeuvres is she going to eat?
Yes,
literally, I literally thought she was pregnant.
Literally. Like, it's, and I think it's so funny because it's just like, and then I'm like, and you cast who?
Exactly.
And you better not be calling her fat. You better not. That better not make an appearance in the movie. Sorry. Because no. If it does, and if I hear Sydney Sweeney talking about how fat Amanda Seyfried is, I will not. You will not see me at the holidays because I'll be checked in somewhere. Okay?
And hey, Sid, you're going to have a lot more to worry about. You're going to have a lot more to worry about.
I'm just Sid. To my friends, I'm just Sid. I can't. Okay, so back to this.
That's Serena. That's Serena as fuck.
Yes. When I thought you said to me, I wasn't done talking. What I was saying is that, like, it is a shame because we hate Captain Archibald so much. And, like, if our dad's ever a granddad, like, we want him to be called Captain. So, like, that's going to be something we have to grapple with for sure.
But he's also not, like, a fucking criminal, so.
That we know of. Just kidding. He's not. He isn't. Okay.
He would sooner die than commit a crime.
I agree. He's good boy. Anyway, Blair's heading the committee, obviously, for the mixer. And Cottie and Israel are like, oh my God, where's Serena? And it's like, is that going to be in every episode?
Yeah.
And Blair, supposed to hear anything about Yale with all this talk about Serena? Blair, okay, I know it's like a bad episode for Blair,
really,
but it's
bad.
Also an iconic episode for Blair.
And I do think it's one of the few episodes where like Serena's had lines where I'm like, okay. Serena can hold her own. Not that I don't think she can, but like they don't normally give her the lines that sting, you know, like the ones that are funny or like punchy.
Exactly. Because she's
better than that. They want her to think that, or want us to think that she is.
She's the it girl. She doesn't have to be funny, but Blair had to like work her entire life to create this personality that people like, because
and
she
you know
didn't have
say?
What Serena had.
She doesn't get enough credit for her wit.
Exactly. So we get a flashback to Blair's morning, and I actually seeing this scene
heartbreaking,
like, yes dude, in a way that I hadn't like really noticed it before. And I also need to say she's wearing red tights, and the like colored tights really spoke to me at this time.
You love that Aria outfit too. Well, I guess those are, she's in a colored tank top, not a colored tight.
Yeah, but she's wearing tights with shorts, so it's, well, it counts. Which I also did. It sounds like Blair's talking to her mother this whole time. You assume, because it's the type of conversation, like she's like, oh, like I can't wait to go to Yale. And like, remember when my dad gave me my first Yale sweatshirt? It was my favorite piece of clothing. I remember when I wanted a dog and you said no. And then she's like, oh, are you sad? Like watching me grow up. And then you see that it's fucking Dorota and it's not her mom. And it's just like, oh, like these things really set us up to like have sympathy for Blair in a way that we just do not have it for Serena. It's,
no,
it has
just,
to
like,
be by design.
She doesn't get anything. Like, Serena just, like, she automatically assumes she has the moral high ground, which I think Blair is so, like, earnest, and the good parts of her don't seem contrived at all.
It's just, like, sad. And then Dorota's like, eat up. Like, she has this huge spread. She's like, your mom would want you to have a good breakfast. And Blair's like, yeah, my mom would want me to have, one grape. Which
it's
is
terrible.
Like, it's just terrible. But also like Blair, like I know she takes these things way too far, but there's a part of Blair that's like, she doesn't have siblings. She's kind of having fun with it. Like she's doing it all with like a ha 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 a little bit. And Serena's like never made a joke in her life. And
exactly.
Obviously this isn't like what she ends up doing in this episode, like isn't funny, but also just because Serena, you're not, you suck. You did fucked up things. Like, Blair,
I don't feel the same way with this episode.
No, I'm not saying that Blair is right. I'm not justifying it at all. But what I'm saying is that Serena acts like she's like perfect and would never do anything to piss Blair off. And like,
yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? And it's like, just because for some reason you don't think it's a big deal that you slept with Nate anymore, like Blair just found out. And then it's like compounded with everything.
Right.
Is what she's doing right? Absolutely not. But like, I just refuse to look at, like, it doesn't absolve Serena of anything.
No, not
like,
at all.
And for Serena to be so floored that, like, why would Blair do something like this? Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know who Blair is. Why would she do something as if you didn't give her any motivation?
Right.
Not that it was right, but do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean. For sure. So then we go to Serena's hotel room, the hotel suite, and she's running late because she slept at the Ostrov Center again, and Lily is just like so annoyed. And it is like, Lily's? If I'm Eric, I'm also annoyed. I'm like, you don't sleep here.
Phoebe doesn't want anybody around her ever. Phoebe would like fucking love to be in Eric's position at the Ostrov Center. She
no.
would like, well, not in his position, but you would love to be like, you'd be like a vacation by myself in a room where no one talks to me. That sounds great. But Lily has such a funny line. She goes, I don't know why you insisted on sleeping there. He can't even see you. His eyes are closed. And that's when Serena goes, do you have one maternal bone in your body? And I'm just like, yeah, she's trying to get you out of school and on time right now, you fucking bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
And she doesn't want you to look like a slut, which you do. You show up late and you show up slutty. Classic Serena.
My gosh. So we're at school. Serena's running late and she says, is it over? To Dan. And Dan goes, yeah, I'd say it's pretty over.
You were there. And you can see this is a one funny moment for Serena where she low-key wants to laugh in his face. She's like, okay. She doesn't correct him. And then he's like, oh. And then we see Blair and we get the crazy, too bad you missed the assembly. And then she looks at her and goes, Brown doesn't offer degrees in slut. It's just, and again, Serena like looks at Blair as though like, again, at this point, it's like they're having fun. It's... dare I say it's tete a tete?
Yes. Well, it's also like there is also always that look in Serena, like she's so above it. I think it's what you were saying earlier, like she would never make jokes like that. And then we go to the field hockey thing, and Serena does have an amazing line, but it's like, so you are capable of this.
Exactly. But she's teed up. She's so teed up for it.
Oh, but it's so good.
This gym scene is so good. I literally don't think we ever get another gym scene ever. And
well, it's because they ran out of colors.
What?
They ran out of all the... They can't throw any more flags.
Oh, so true. I was going to say, because it's like, what's the point of adding another gym scene after this? Like, you're never going to have a better one.
After the Waldorf sued. Gym class isn't allowed here anymore.
And we're not taking PE anymore for what happened on the field. But we got the song, Baby, Where You Get Your Body From? And that was an epic thing. And they're playing field hockey, which...
And it gets physical. It comes to physical blows.
It's so funny. Blair knocks Serena to the ground. And Serena goes, I really hope that was an accident. And Blair goes, then you must be delusional.
And then Blair hurts her again. And the ref goes, running out of colors here, Blair.
Blair's thrilled. Blair's like, Blair, that's the thing. Again, it's still a game to her. Like, she's having so much fun getting in trouble for, like, physically abusing Serena on the field. And then she hits her again, and Serena's like, it's enough. And Blair says, it's enough when I say it's enough. Again, Blair's 2 for 2. Freaking awesome lines, okay? And then Serena's actually had enough and takes her down, gets on top of her. Dare I say, takes it to another level. Blair screaming, get off of me!
It's Dakota Fanning and Uptown Girls.
That's exactly what I thought. And like, Blair,
Dakota Fanning grows up to be Blair Waldorf, low-key.
Yes. Oh, yes. And then Serena asks for a truce, and Blair looks at her, smiles, and starts screaming, ow, my leg, to which Serena responds, I hope it's broken. Which
and then she walks away. I mean, that's Blake Lively's best delivery, I think.
Best probably delivery, in the whole show. Best line thus far, and perhaps will stay that way. I hope it's broken. I just like, It's such a good scene. It's so good. It and imagining that these two women don't like each other in real life. I'm like, did you already not like each other? Don't you want to know
that,
so bad?
Did that make it? That make that
much more fun.
Yeah, exactly. So we go to Dan's Usher meeting, and he's like, he basically is saying all this stuff. At first, he's like, I'm going to tell you why I belong in Dartmouth in three parts. I'm going to start with the third part, if that's okay with you. But I guess you wouldn't know that was whatever. He says all this stuff, and then he goes, long story short, basically, Dartmouth is my dream. And I'm pretty sure Dartmouth's been dreaming of me.
I've never asked Dartmouth, but I'm pretty sure it's been dreaming of me. I do just say for Penn Badgley, he's such a good actor. And like his delivery of that where you just like you see Dan's like tongue in cheek start to be like, and I'm just going to fucking say it. I'm going to, my dad like, told me to say it and I'm just going to say it.
And it's because it's so Rufus.
Yes, exactly. And then we get that kind of scene where it's like passing behind the rep's head talking to Dan until we see, we hear you're the ideal Dartmouth candidate, and it's like pans again and we see it's actually Nate who heard that. And Nate literally goes, hey, and by the way, like,
this isn't really my first choice.
This is not my first choice. And if there's someone else who's a candidate, like, they probably want it more than me.
Okay.
Insanity to still, for him to still get the Usher position, I have to say.
I do agree.
Chuck's response for why he's good for what school? Is it Yale?
I think so. No, Princeton.
Yeah.
Because isn't he in the bed with the Tigers later?
Oh, yes. Correct. So we get the Usher list. Shocker. It's Nate. No, it's Chuck for Yale.
Nate goes, did you get the one you wanted? To Dan? And Dan goes, no.
Nate, is it your first day on Earth? Nate.
Every day is.
No, Nate actually wakes up every day with a wiped. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Like,
and that's why he's so frustrated with his dad every day, because he realizes his hopes and dreams every day.
Yeah. He's like, wait, what? This isn't what I want. And exactly. Yeah. So Dan's like, well, you know, I'm sure J.L. Hall will be really impressed with your passion for the Dartmouth experience. And Nate says, who the hell is J.L. Hall? That would be the rep. And
it's like, okay, Nate, for real, though.
Yeah. You gotta be.
You didn't know his name. You were just speaking to him.
And I was like, hey, Captain, you didn't like prep Nate in any way, shape, or form.
I don't buy that. Well, he
suffered. Why didn't you use that racing time to, well, I guess. But I'm like, instead of racing this morning, why didn't you like go over talking points? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, they were racing. The race was more important.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, like, maybe instead of racing, we could have done that, you know? And yeah. Dan's like, you should pick up J.L. Hall's book, The Petting Zoo. By the way, it's not a real book. So I looked.
So everybody get off Amazon.com
right now. So don't go looking. We're not doing a book club on the Petting Zoo. By the way, check what's behind me.
Books?
Original Pretty Little Liars books.
Oh, nice.
With the original covers that you can't buy anymore.
At Bic, which is still crazy as hell.
What?
Crazy that you can't buy them.
I know. I'm like collecting them. I think they look so cute behind me.
They do.
It's like an Easter egg.
I love it. We go outside and Serena and Dan are catching up a bit. And Dan is just like in his woe is me back. He's
so
like, well, life when you're not
tired. I know. He's like, I'm working on my my short fuse. Like, I'm freaking amps and freaking so freaking. Like, he's just like so mad. And Serena's like, look, you could still get into an Ivy. And he's like, yeah? Where did your parents go? And she's like, well, your dad might be my dad. Just kidding.
Imagine if Serena was like, do not bring up my dad. Pushes him over.
She's like, how dare you? I have to go. How dare you? We see Katya is icing
back. She's walking away from him, continually like putting her over and over again.
Pisses me off.
Yes. You see, she's going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I did. I think Amber and I are gonna go.
You have to.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
Pisses me off. Still, I mean, that's the line read of the year.
Pisses me off. And like the physicality as well. I know.
Emmy just for that.
I just want to hear her delivery of like she could read a grocery list and I would be fucking all over that. So yeah, I think we'll be going.
I mean,
and then like right after that, I'm gonna have MBB. So,
and hopefully I'll be there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone's like, when do I know if I can have your MBB ticket? And I'm like, I'm waiting on Phoebe. Like, waiting on her. This chick woke up in my house. Which
don't
again
let Mary Beth
is
hear that you're saying that.
A shame.
Mary Beth, if I can be there, I'll be there. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, Mary Beth, like, I hope. I mean, I'll be there for sure, but I don't know about Phoebe. Okay, so yeah, that's definitely
stupid,
a facepalm
stupid,
moment.
Stupid. I mean, I've been loving watching football with Mimi and with my friends and stuff, and we love when the players
you are
like,
so
miss...
different.
No, stop.
I've been
loving
watching football
it,
with me, my
stop
friends
it,
and stuff.
Shut the fuck up.
That's
no, what I'm
such
saying
a
is...
funny thing to fucking say.
Is... No, stop.
The girls.
It was a compound sentence.
You can call me Tomboy.
That was the predicate.
Yo, let's throw the pigskin.
Stop it.
You want to have a beer chugging contest?
Oh my god, I saw this video the other day that was like a girl saying things that are just like so pick me when a girl does.
I feel my best in a football jersey, and what can I say?
And it was like a list of like my hobbies and interests.
Because well, yes, me, every time I make anything Aria related, I'm like,
guys,
hey, Phoebe, you just close your eyes when I post this.
No, stop it. Aria wouldn't do that stuff.
No, well,
no, she
we just
to,
don't know
she'd
because
she
started dating her
like,
husband when she was 13
be
years
like,
old.
She'd be like, do they have any, like, herbal cocktails?
Phoebe famously knows. She's like, can I get a cheeseburger? She's like, I'm going to
Jack
what
Daniels
I do.
On the
can
rocks.
I get a cheeseburger? And whiskey neat. Wash it. I don't want that watered down. Why are you talking like that, Aria? I was just abroad. Not to tell you I don't know what his accent is, but it's an
everybody,
yeah.
Everybody talks like this
she's
abroad.
She's like, I'm not afraid to eat in front of a hot guy. Eating her cheeseburger. Let me wash this down with the what like, you got on tap. Let me clear out the keg.
Okay, but like you...
Do you need help
so
carrying a new keg up here? I'm not scared of breaking a nail. I got chipped black nail polish anyway. If I got anything at all, I gotta keep my nails short to play guitar.
Stop it.
Oh my god.
But it's not even Aria though.
Yeah, it's you.
Wait, there's two
it's
wolves.
You working a shift at Mullet's.
There's two wolves inside of Aria. It's that, and it's
and
wave of a girl
team.
Aria.
Yeah,
and she's like, wait.
And on my own, happening cosplay Aria.
Wait, are they hurting each other? That has to hurt.
Yeah,
what if they just
that
like
hurt me just watching
said.
I'm such an empath.
She's like, has anybody seen Heated Rivalry?
I love sports.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
No, but what
by
I
the way, you're
going
to be so mad at me. I'm going to the Pens game with Chloe on New Year's Day in a suite.
My gosh, fancy as heck. What the hell is this?
Anthony loves doing this to me, and I don't want to explain it to you right now. But
that's like
he's
reverse
like,
11.
It's the claw sometimes. It's always coming from behind, and it's
hey,
like,
Anthony,
oh god, there's a claw behind me, huh?
Is your anime man, Mr. Claw, behind me? I don't want to hear one thing about me liking Stranger Things. Okay.
Well, he'd have to say it to me too, and he wouldn't dare backtalk. We just wouldn't.
Anyway, all I was gonna say is that when we are watching football, our favorite thing is when a player like makes a mistake, fumbles, doesn't do an interception, whatever, and you see them hit their
you
heads.
You see them literally do
and
stupid instruments.
I have started, like, I'll be sitting there, and I'll start to do it, and then everybody in unison, basically, stupid, stupid, stupid.
And the other people at the bar are like, what the fuck? We have to get
the Steelers
them out
Steelers fans
here.
Suck.
We gotta find a new bar to watch games at. This bar's been taken over by chicks.
I'm like, no, you guys got it all wrong. We're
and you're like,
one
hey,
of the guys.
No nail polish. One of the guys. Do a claw shape. You're like, don't worry. No claws here. Can I get a cheeseburger?
Why do I have a Boston accent?
Can I get some freaking wings, no napkins? I'll use my shirt.
Lick my fingers clean.
Oh my God. I'll open my pants. I'm not precious.
Dear
I'm not going to choice
that.
Later. What?
Dear media, clip that. So we can send this in the family group.
Oh my God. Because
you know,
okay.
Dad's going to say, that girl sounds badass.
Dad's going to say, what's funny about that? He's going to say, this is the podcast you're fighting so hard for? Anyway, so Cadian is our icing, by the way, the wrong leg. It's not the same one that Blair allegedly hurt. And when Chuck calls her, she's like, scram. And he heard about field hockey. And I'm like, Chuck, you're obsessed. And
this
Blair,
is me when I would when I would fake sick. And then mom would be like, I'm going to run to the store. And I'd be like,
you're like, okay, guys, what's up? Get on Webkinz now. I got 15 men. And then I got to fake sick again because I'm not helping clean and bring in the groceries.
Mom's a giant eagle and I'm in the basement doing my dance party.
She comes out and she's like, Phoebe, you're like, oh shit. You're like, let me just blow a cold fan on myself so I'm sweating, but I'm freezing.
Oh my God. Phoebe, you are burning
up. You broke her fever. You're sweating
but
so
I'm
much.
Freezing cold.
I'm so cold. I have the shakes.
She's
anyway.
Like, why are the lights on and the amp going and Spotify on?
I like that you added that the amp is also going, yes, because while Phoebe was doing the dance party, she was also ripping it on the guitar. Anyway.
I still do that.
Oh, my. Rip it on the guitar?
Play the guitar?
And dance at the same time?
Oh, I don't dance when I do it.
Liar. No one will believe you. This is Blair and Chuck's first scheme. A historic moment.
Yes.
Blair's like, I want to fucking know why Serena actually came home. I just need to know what actually brought her here. And Chuck goes, well, I can find out. What does he say? He says something and she goes, I can be a bitch when I want to be.
Wait, let me see. Let me see if I can find it.
I made a graphic with it. I can find it.
Yeah, I didn't write it down, but that is funny. I hope she did say that.
No, he said that.
Oh, he
Chuck
said
says
I
can... it.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's here. It's that she says no one likes to be on the ground floor of a scandal like Chuck Bass, and he says I'm a bitch when I want to be. Okay, so Chuck's going to figure this out. We're back at the Humphrey residence. Rufus made amazing dinner, apparently. And Rufus makes amazing dinner and breakfast and lunch every single day, I think. And he's going to tell us about it every single day.
I'm tired of it.
Anytime a man cooks, they're like, and let me walk you through it. And it's like, no thanks. Just put it on the table. But Dan storms into his room. He's fucking furious. He's actually having a temper tantrum.
No, literally.
He might as well grab Cedric's Cabbage Patch doll and fucking like rip his head off. But he's screaming into his pillow about not getting the Dartmouth thing. And he screams, Nate, Archibald! Because last year, I believe he had an original thought. It died of loneliness.
Because Rufus comes in and he's like, and Dan goes, sorry about my melodramatic entrance.
It's like, at least
he's like, okay,
know.
The melodrama continues.
It's just too much. And so Dan needs some alone time, which is fine. Rufus goes out, he's hanging with Jenny. And like, Jenny, I am like, kind of shut up. Because she's like, we're Humphrey's dad. Not exactly royalty uptown. And he goes, and are you okay with that? And she goes,
no.
But
I'm used to it.
Okay, ungrateful bitch. Okay, it starts now. It starts here, it starts
now.
This,
in this house, they're honest.
I guess, but it's
like, household of honesty.
They're a first name parents house for sure.
Oh, yes.
Well,
we already discussed.
They're going to Rosewood for Thanksgiving and they're visiting their
cousin
Maria.
Exactly. Yeah.
Was the Serena walk around with headphones? I was like, okay.
Wait, guys, can we like bring those back? Guys, I am like, and this is fine. Aria hat back on.
Do not tell
off.
Me you want corded headphones. I will actually jump.
Not
the
even
screen,
just corded headphones.
You.
I want Ella Yellick O'Connor throw my cellular device in the ocean.
Okay, you and everybody else.
I want an iPod.
Call me when you actually do it.
Well, when when I can be a follower.
How about you go get a fucking Walkman? Go get a Walkman, Phoebe. They sell them at Urban Outfitters now. That's how cool they are. That's how much everybody is just like you. Okay? Nice try being unique.
Okay, Rachel said it.
If you can buy it at Urban Outfitters, news flash, it's not unique.
Get a broom.
Get a broom. News flash, you're not gonna. Oh, so good.
She's also so Spencer coded.
So Chuck's limo is just following Serena around, and they see her, following Serena around. She goes into the Ostroff Center. What is Serena listening to, though? Like, what is in those headphones?
Nothing.
It's a silence. Her own voice. Her own.
She's like,
voice.
It's just people don't bother me when I have these in.
Yes, exactly. It's more for the social aspect. So Nate and Blair are hanging out. He's trying to read, doesn't know how. And I'm like, okay, you're obsessed with Chuck because Chuck calls Blair. And she goes, Mom, how's Paris? Okay, like, just say you guys want to have sex. Okay, say you want to have raw dog sex with Chuck. Why else are you answering the phone in front of your boyfriend this way? In this sneaky way.
I guess that's true.
If I'm Nate, I mean, Nate can't.
Well,
Nate has a gun
to his
head.
Nate can't
call Blair out.
Yeah, but I think she's probably like, because it'll come back to Serena and she wants to avoid that subject at all costs in front of Nate.
True. So then somehow she kicks Nate out because Chuck ends up at Blair's.
Like, exactly.
Or was she at Nate's?
I have us at the Waldorf.
Yeah. Somehow she got Nate out of there so Chuck could come over. And they're looking at pictures of Serena and like low-key flirting.
Wait, I loved this. She goes, that place is for the addicted and the disturbed. You must have your own. You must have your own wing. You really don't get enough credit for your wit.
Yes, and I'm like, and thank you for seeing her for who she really is. And you just see Blair like perk up when he says that. And of course, it's evil, but like, he sees her.
Yeah,
you know, he just does. Anyway, he does. Then of course, point out her bed, and that's when she kicks him out. So,
but they're ready for total social destruction. And yes. That's me and Dad's cover band of the band Social Distortion.
And I almost was going to say Total Social Distortion. So, and I would have been like, yeah, I know that band. But
guys,
Phoebe, to add to Phoebe's pick me lore. Yeah, Phoebe went to that concert when she was like 9 years old. And she fought her way down with all the tough guys. And Dad talked about it for 3 years straight. And I was like, okay, oh my God, I will never win.
I saw my first bar fight there. Oh my gosh. I really
did. Yeah, and he was like, it was freaking awesome.
The boy was in like a roller
Phoebe's
rink.
Like, let me in there. In her three-piece suit and fedora. Like, he was like, yeah, I play guitar. Dad's walking around showing Phoebe her trick on his phone.
I'm like, guys. You guys ever thought about putting these down?
And raising a glass?
It's 7-year-old
like,
Phoebe.
To the pink concert.
7-year-old Phoebe with a non-alcoholic Heineken beer.
Yeah. Like, I just like the taste. Yeah. Wait, the first time you did have a sip of beer, you threw up. Was that you or Lily?
It was me.
Oh.
But I
Phoebe
think
accidentally took a sip of beer at like a party. At the
I had to
and like
sick
made
of something else. No, I was,
she was like, I'm gonna be
sick.
Arrested. Oh, I can't believe I did
Maybe
this.
It was nerves.
I'm done.
Which, if that says anything about us,
yeah. Okay. So we have family therapy at the Ostroff Center, and I just, again, I'm like, can we give Lily Vanderwasen a freaking break?
No, Serena, and hey, therapist, I want your license to be examined.
Hey, therapist, side with Lily. Lily is on the right side of her story, let's be clear.
Serena's just being a little brat. Like, this is her way of sticking it to Lily. She's not looking out for Eric the way that she wants you to think she is.
Literally, like, Lily's like, I just don't know. Or because Serena's like, you're hiding him. And Lily goes, this isn't called a hiding, Serena. This is called recovery, which like, yeah, it literally is. And Lily's like, well, Eric isn't ready. And Serena's like, and you are? Like, no. You know what? No, because I'm afraid that I can't fucking keep my kid alive if I let him out of here, Serena.
Exactly.
I'm like, it's not
and
like
I, and I'm not convinced I can keep him alive and that I can keep you here, and he needs stability in his life.
This isn't like one of those mental institutions you see in like fucking a horror movie. Like, this is an American horror asylum. Like, you know what I mean? This is like the cushiest place. You guys get to visit them every single day.
But every time Serena walks in, she's hearing the American Horror Story music.
Literally.
And, like, she's like seeing like a patient walk down the hall who's in like a three-piece suit and she's jumping.
She's like, whatever you do, don't come near me. Go in the basement, Eric.
Don't come near me.
Just trust me on this. Don't go in the basement. Do not. You don't want to go down there.
Maddie Ziegler's down there.
But of course Eric wants to get out of here. Because, like, of course Eric wants to get out of here. But I also think Eric can see reason and he realizes that, like, I don't know. So they decide
He's not ready for everything.
Yeah. The, like, compromises. He's going to come out to be Serena's day to the Ivy party. And what I need to say about this is, like, yeah, I mean, Lily's the committee chair. She's the mom of Serena. Serena's going, like, is this really the, and with all these people who are, like, probably the very people that made Eric feel like shit every single day, this is the healthiest environment. Like, what about we take him out for fucking ice cream, you know what I mean? Or dinner, or like a sleepover at the house or something like that. Not let's like have him have this big social outing where everyone's going to be like, Eric, where have you been?
Exactly.
And Lily isn't going to be able to be as attentive as she wants to be. And Serena, you need to focus on that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
100%. So that's what's going to happen. We go to the school because Rufus has realized like he's going to try to be dad of the year and like try to get Dan a slot to do whatever. He comes to the school, talks to someone and is like, how can I get Dan to be the usher for Dartmouth? And she like laughs in his face and is like, you can't.
That's done. You can't actually, but you can talk to the committee chairwoman who we know to be Lily. And she goes, lucky for you, she seems to be in a good mood. And we get this line that feels like a callback to like every episode with Lily where he says, until she sees me. Got a minute, Lil?
Crazy.
Not for you.
We go back to the loft and Rufus tells Dan that he got him a slot on the refreshment committee. Dan says, there is no refreshment committee. And he says, now there is. And then we find out that Rufus is also, conveniently, he gets to make this about himself, on the entertainment committee. And then we get a classic Taylor Momsen line. Like, this is little J line delivery when she goes, need a roadie?
It's so little J. It's also so Rufus. Oh, well, I happen to finagle my way into being the head of the entertainment committee, Rufus Unplugged. But I do think it's kind of cute, like, knowing behind the scenes that Lily allowed for there to be a whole other committee that Dan could be involved in.
It is sweet.
You know, like, it's like,
I want to see that conversation.
I know. Again, it's like, okay, Lily and Rufus, you guys just can't freaking quit each other. Like, you
can't quit you.
Yeah, I just can't quit you. By the way, I know this isn't that, but Sally on Southern Charm, quick note, dressing up as a woman from Holes, you look nothing like her.
I did not see that.
Oh, you got, have you watched the last 2 weeks?
I don't think so.
I was feeling a little bit bored of it, and I was like, I'll stick it out. Thank God I fucking did, because the party where Craig is in the costume, you gotta be there. You will die.
I'm just, like, so tired of Sally.
I am, too. So, but yeah, so we're at the event. Again, I'm so not surprised that Lily didn't think that this event was going to be a good idea for Eric. And she's, like, telling him, like, if you get anxious or whatever, let me know. And Serena's like, Mom, shut the fuck up. How about that? Like, pushes Lily out of the way.
It's way too much.
Lily tries to be a good mother. Serena isn't like that. Like, I just can't. But I will say the scarf and the hair for Serena, that was such a look. I loved that look.
And then Serena goes to find the Yale rep, steals him away from Blair. And then Chuck.
Don't you hate Blair's outfit?
I don't think I clocked it.
No way.
But I don't think I think their skin looks so bad in this episode.
Maybe. I don't know. But what I do know is that Blair's outfit sucks. She's wearing like a bright yellow button down with like a navy blazer over it. And her hair is in this.
Okay,
like,
yes. And she's got like long pearls or something.
No, her hair is like in an updo.
No, she's got long pearls.
Like, oh, yeah, she has pearls on.
But they're not like, they're like long.
Yeah, she looks like she's 40 and it's just not. And then like Serena, like we need to split the diff between what Serena's wearing and what Blair is wearing. And so I just hate it. And I just need to say that.
Then we find out that Chuck actually invited Dr. Ostroff. Crazy as hell.
Which is so insane. But Serena does, like, before Blair, I know, it sounds like I'm defending Blair. Before Blair goes up there, Serena's coming in and trying to sabotage Yale. Right away.
Yeah.
Serena goes up and interrupts Blair's conversation, and she goes, oh, Blair's really more of an indoors girl.
And I just feel, and I know you're not defending Blair, but like the stakes just feel so different.
They are. They 100%
like
are.
even without the Eric wrinkle of it, if no, Serena right. actually was there for her addiction or whatever. And I just think, I don't know, it's pretty bad.
No, I 100% agree with you. But I'm just like, Serena, you're not an innocent flower.
No, not at all. And but I think that like things could have stayed at this level of war. This just feels yeah. like, and I think it's because Chuck got involved. I don't know that she would have necessarily done this mm-hmm. if Chuck hadn't been encouraging her in some kind yeah. of way.
No, it is an insane thing to do. I mean, it's fully insane. It's fully insane. And by the way, you were right. Well, Chuck ends up switching ushers because he wants to hook up with the Princeton person.
Right,
so
right.
He is assigned Yale, but then ends up Princeton. And then we get Dr. Ostroff. Nate talking to JL Hall. He goes, I like your book.
And he's like, oh, yeah, what about it?
Yeah, what did you think of the ending? Like, what did you think? And Nate goes, yeah, it might seem a little too commercial.
No, it's different because he says they're changing the ending for the movie. And Nate says, so he's like, what did you think about my ending? And Nate goes, I mean, I could see how they might not think it was all that commercial. So it's kind of like even a shitty thing to say to him.
It's just like one of those head scratching lines. It's just to put it plain and simple. And then Bart Bass arrives. No, it's not the first we're seeing of him. He says hi to Lily, hi to Eric. I'm like, does he know?
He says, go Marlins.
Eric? Don't you want to know?
Because I don't think he does. Thinks
Eric was in Florida. Jenny arrives in her Blair Waldorf dress. And this is Eric and Jenny's like second meeting officially. The captain comes out, asks him about Miami. And then like, this is going to spark Jenny and Eric chatting.
Right.
We get Serena and Dan talking.
They're at the punch
table. Like, he's like, what are you doing? Like,
he's being such a jerk.
Well, yeah, but he makes but a so good is point. Serena. He's like, well, since you don't have to worry about getting into college, yeah, why not make this entire evening about screwing over Blair? Which, by the way, Serena, you fought so hard to get Eric here.
Yeah.
Why don't you focus on Eric?
Yeah, good point. And Nate is truly gray rocking Serena.
He is acting like Serena's not a human being on Earth. The way he walks right past her, she's like, are you... What? Like, it is actually good line delivery. She's like, are you actually gonna, like, literally... Oh, wait, is that the last episode?
No, it was this one. She says, are you literally not gonna
literally
to
going
me?
To ignore me? Yeah, it's so funny.
And then he turns to her and he goes, hi. And then he turns right back around. And then we kind of get, like, a little bromance of, like, Dan and Nate. And he's like, look, I'm gonna go get
would
some fresh air.
Would you want to bring rivalry?
This? No. Low-key, Dan wishes...
Maybe Nate wishes.
He's like, why don't you bring this punch over to him? I'm gonna go get some fresh
okay,
air.
Okay, why does this make me like
it's
good
sweet.
Guy Nate? Like, I do yeah, love I Nate because he, and he's so. Also like at least a little bit self aware because he says to Dan, like, he's like, what is JL Hall like? And Nate's like, it fucking sucks. I don't know anything. And it's like, well, at least you know that. At least you know that you
and
know
he's just
thing.
He's not interested and he knows that Dan is. So go
and
over
then
there. And then
the captain
sees
this happen.
Nate do it.
Rage grabs Nate. He's like, pulls him by his ears. Like, I'm going to hang you from the ceiling fan by your toenails. Basically,
that is your accent tonight. What did you say? Sorry, you cut out.
No. Hey, shut up. No, I didn't. I just an accent that you made a shitty comment about. And then
no.
I got quiet.
No, I heard you say I'm going to hang you by your toenails.
Yep. That was
and then what
I
did
said.
You say after that?
Well, then you made fun of me. And then I shut up.
Oh, but I thought you kept talking.
No, you wish. You actually just
no, but you
right
did. You no, you did
line.
Fully cut off though. You froze.
Well, I didn't say anything. So Nate says, "I don't want to go to Dartmouth now. Back off." And that's what I'm saying to you right now.
Kick
back
rocks.
Off. Kick rocks.
And then we go to Jenny and Eric, and he's telling Jenny about what happened and everything. And he's like, "So I'm at the Ostroff Center and I'm there."
Hey, Serena, hate to say it, Eric's like, well, you know, it was just me and my mom at the hotel and I was so lonely and that's why I did it.
Yikes.
Sorry, Serena, maybe you shouldn't have fucking done what you did and then skipped town
and now you're acting like this and you're blaming your poor mom.
Yeah, like I just fuck you,
I
Serena.
Feel so badly for Lily.
Yes. So and, Jenny and Eric are fast friends. We love
and they're and they Eric makes the point of like the Oshkosh Center is great, but they're also paid a lot of money to keep their mouth shut.
Which also, hey, I'm sorry, Eric, every mental health facility
they all have to.
Is paid to keep their mouth shut. They like
and also,
have
hey,
to do that.
If they were really paid to keep their mouth shut, guess what? They wouldn't have a massive Oshkosh Center sign outside of their building.
So true. So true.
So we go back to the party. Blair gets up to announce the charity that she's selected, which is her big privilege of the week. And she says that the charity for this function is the Oshkosh Center because it's actually quite close to home.
It's helped one of our own. It's because of them that one of our students is clean and sober, at least for now. Ooh, and then she welcomes Serena Vanderwoods into the stage. And everyone's like, what? And Serena, okay, I'm going to give it to you. You're a good sister for one day in your life. For this one, for actually, and I'm going to give you the whole day. For this
for
one
these 3 minutes.
5 minute moment in life. Yeah.
I gave her three
Let's
minutes.
Give her three. You're being a good big sister. I'm not going to get used to it, of course. And as she walks up, Blair goes, don't try to deny it. Chuck saw you.
So funny. But also, Blair. And then
I know it's. I mean, Serena, it is painful to watch. Like you, mm-hmm. you watch
especially
her start
just
talking,
you know,
and
you
covering and your eyes.
The way they edit it all together, you're like getting the clips of Eric and Lily, and it's just like it's
like,
such
like about?
Blair's.
Like,
that's another thing that bothers me so much about what Blair did is it's not just something that affects Serena; it affects the whole family. And even without the Eric stuff, again, even if Blair was right. And Serena was there
yeah,
for addiction. It's still like, so you're going to do this
horrific.
In front of her mom and
no,
in front of her brother.
Ivy, it's crazy.
Exactly.
It's completely crazy. It's so crazy. So Serena basically goes up and she's like, thanks, Blair. You know, at the Oshkosh Center, one of the main things we learn is forgiveness. And she, but I'm like, it feels like she essentially asked Blair for forgiveness and vice versa. And Blair interrupts her and kicks her off the stage. She's like, okay, and that's enough, Serena. Let's have Dr. Oshkosh come on up.
Uh-huh. So then we go into a hallway and Lily is like, why would Blair be doing this? And Serena's like, shut up. I didn't write down exactly what Serena said, but I have we are still a family written down.
Yeah, she goes... her mom says, this has been hard on our family, but we are still a family.
Mm.
So then Serena goes and interrupts Blair and is like, and the rep is like, what the hell was that? And
oh,
Blair's.
Wait. Oh, and then, okay, wait, Lily, I think this is important because it is like, Serena will do the right thing and then throw it in everybody's face because Lily is like, why would you, like, why is Blair doing this? Why would you do this? Why are you like jeopardizing your future? I think. Right. And then
she's like,
Serena
do you have drug
says,
problems? Serena's like, how dare you?
And Serena's like, well, why do you think I just did what I did? I'm going to go end this with Blair. And then she goes to the party and she says, Blair, are we good now? And Blair says,
no,
because nothing I ever do will ever be as bad.
As bad as what you did. Well, this was, Blair, this was arguably way worse.
Hey, Blair, here's an idea of what you could have done. You're so eager to get your bones rocked. Why don't you go to Brooklyn?
I don't think she realizes, though, yet that would.
Yeah, that's
I don't
true.
Know. Well, quite frankly, she thinks Eric is straight at this time. Go try to get in his pants.
Or just have sex with Nate and make sure Serena has to hear about it every day of her
life.
You
know what? The best revenge is a happy relationship and
you're
no drama.
So right.
And
you're
drama
so,
free life.
And no drama.
Blair.
And that's actually so Serena.
And Serena's like, I want this to be done, Blair. And Blair goes, you're just saying this because today you lost and you're going to keep losing. She says, if
she
you'll excuse me,
down.
Unlike you, I have a future to get back to.
Like, Blair, relax. Especially
Blair,
when this is the charity that you've chosen. So you do kind of want to give the air that like Serena actually does have a future. That's why we're raising money for this place.
Yes. So Serena storms out. Dan follows her. We sort of get this cyclical moment from their conversation earlier in the episode and now. And he's like, I just want to know if you're okay.
Right, because
I think
Jenny,
what you did for your brother is very cool.
When this all happened, when Serena was up there, Dan was like, holy shit, I just went on a date with an addict. He's having this moment.
Dan's like, I can't believe that she's not who I thought
where
she
is,
was. Like,
where
honestly,
is the closest doctor? Where's the closest doctor?
He really does act. He acts as in the way that they all act about him being from Brooklyn.
Exactly. And Jenny's like, it's not her.
It wasn't him. It's her brother.
It's her brother.
And then Jenny swears to Eric, I swear on my life, nobody will know. Nobody will hear this from me. I will never tell a soul. She is her fucking brother.
She says it
at the event with everybody who could hear with an earshot. Rufus is behind her with the mic. He's like, oh shit, is this thing on?
so wait, much for my roadie.
How relieved were you that he wasn't singing?
It was so relieved.
An instrumental evening with Rufus Humphrey. Thank God.
I know Lily was specific about that.
Well, and good for her. And we love that discretion. So Dan is like, I think what you did for your brother is very cool. And I'm like, not going to ever tell anybody.
By the way, it's cool. I know.
Yeah. He's like, no one will ever know. But I can be here for you to talk or
not talk.
And it's like, okay, horny. Okay, H word. And then Dan apologizes for what he said about her and her world. He's like, I obviously know nothing about you in your life. Like, I thought you were fully on drugs 5 minutes ago. And she's like, you know what? Maybe I'll take you up on that getting together and not talking thing.
We need to get you on SNL when Blake Lively is allowed to be like a public figure who we make fun of again.
No, well, I think in fact a lot of people would say that this is the best time to do.
No, but I mean in a different way when it's not gonna be political.
Yeah, for sure. So he's gonna call her. So
that is right. Again, there it is.
Okay, if you're gonna be a nasty mean bully, I'm gonna quit the podcast.
After all this, I
did this whole episode basically on anesthesia, and I'm going to quit.
I literally thought you were going to say basically on my own.
Nope, I wasn't. No.
So we go back to the party.
But now I know what you really think of me. Which sucks, which hurts.
Eric pulls Blair out, and he's like, hey, Blair, can I fucking talk to you?
You want to know how I got these scars?
Yeah, I thought this was a little bit much.
It is a little bit much. And then he pulls out his thing and we're like, holy shit. And Blair is just like, Blair is visibly shaken up. Eric, sorry, eats. And then Chuck comes up and Blair is just frozen and is like about to go catatonic. Good news for Dan Humphrey.
Wait, I loved Eric's line because this is such an important, I think, character transformation for Blair over the course of the show. As Eric says to her, yeah, this must be a shock for someone who thinks they know everything. And I think that's Blair's like defense mechanism is having that like barrier.
Yeah.
If she acts like she just like knows and understands everything, it's easier for her to not get hurt or at least pretend that she's not hurt.
Yeah.
Because she already has all the information she needs.
I think the other thing too is like in the similar way that the housewives are always like families are off limits. Like I feel like. Mm-hmm. That like families are off limits, you know what I mean, with them. And like Blair would never intentionally hurt Eric.
And imagine and Blair like, thinking of young Eric and like growing up with his best friend.
Exactly. Like that's I'm just like Blair would never, even though like what she did, if it were just about Serena, that would hurt Eric because like he's her brother. But like I was like Blair is immature and Blair is has like. She's got a lot of growing up to do. And I think that's sort of what's sometimes endearing about her is like Serena like feels like she grew up really, really fast. And and then like she acts that way. And then she also makes stupid mistakes. And it's like, what? But then like Blair, like it's like she's walking around in her mom's heels. You know what I mean? Like she's just she's trying so hard to be this person. But like she's the one who like hasn't had sex. And she's the one who hasn't done these things. She's like very immature. And so I really feel like in her mind, and again, I know it sounds like I'm justifying this for Blair, but I'm more like just trying to understand it.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't want Blair to be a person who genuinely thinks that what she did tonight was like a cool thing to do.
I don't think she feels that way anymore.
I feel like for Blair in her mind, ruining Serena's future like this, first of all, she probably knew like, it's not going to ruin Serena's future. Like they made it very clear tonight. There's really nothing anyone's going to do that's going to ruin their chance at an Ivy, but at the same time, like in Blair's mind, Serena ruined her future. Like, you had sex with Nate. Nate's my whole future. Like, this is our futures are mapped out for us, and so it's the same thing. And like, it's obviously not. And if Blair were more mature, she would realize that. But like, I wonder if in Blair's mind, like, she genuinely thought about it that way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
yes,
you are falling asleep, and we're almost done. So just
no, I'm not falling asleep.
Okay. Well, when you're horizontal and you're like, yep.
I'm sitting up.
Okay.
I am, but back against my bed frame.
Okay, okay, okay. Anyway, Dan has got a note from JL Hall saying, hope to see you in 2 years, which is freaking epic. And he says, Zab, thanks, I appreciate it. And Rufus goes, we're real men, son. We don't have to share our feelings.
Like, what? Also,
Rufus, shut up.
That's so not Rufus either. Anyway.
Rufus, your, like, definition of, like, who says the man can't cook and clean?
So we go to Chuck's suite, and Nate wakes up again. I think Nate is falling asleep and waking up, realizing Chuck was in the room. Like, Chuck came into the room while Nate was asleep and decided to have sex in without closing the doors.
At this point, Nate, though, like...
You should know.
This happens every night, so, like...
Why are you here? You have a house.
Why do you love it? Nate is shirtless and hot, voyeur. Nate's phone is going insane. He's late for a run with his dad, and he's, like, getting up, and he sees that... Well, no, Chuck didn't have sex last night.
Isn't there a girl in the bed with him?
No, there's no one in the bed with him, but he finds a number on the table of Jessica, the Princeton girl. But he does say, let's just say they're the Princeton Tigers for a reason. Maybe he did, but it doesn't look like it happened in this place. There's no one in the bed with him.
Sorry, Chuck.
But Nate goes to meet his dad for the run, and fucking JL Hall is there. I'd
be so pissed.
Oh.
Also, for a run?
For a run, and I'm late for it, and you didn't set me up for success here?
No, terrible. Which is like a pattern with Captain. It's like you're getting so mad at him for these things, but also then you're not setting him up for success.
It's like because he's so desperate, and like we don't know the half of it yet, but he's so desperate, and so it's just like...
Yeah.
Everything is like a scramble. You know,
yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Up.
We go to the Ostroff Center, and Jenny has come to visit, and she walks
in. She's in purple tights, so that's two color tights.
The color tights feel very Gossip Girl altogether.
I know.
And then we see that there are flowers there, and she's like, oh, who brought you flowers? And he goes, they're for my sister. And she's like, what? Did you lie to me?
None of that chick stuff. None of that chick stuff for me.
And
they're from the brown wrap.
Yeah, because apparently he had a brother or something that was at the Ostroff Center. Yes. So it's for Serena. And they're just like hanging out. But it's so cute to see how excited Eric got that Jenny came to see him.
Because
it's like, this is exactly what Eric needs.
I know. And you know what? Then I guess it was worth it for him going out last night because he got to have that moment with Jenny.
Exactly.
And, like, they're going to be friends forever. Mm-hmm. Okay, this last scene.
Epic.
Hall of Fame. And Serena is so deep in her Aria bag. It's actually crazy. They're at Bethesda Fountain in Central Park. I don't know if I said it right. Which is also, by the way, a very important spot way later on in the show. But it's raining. Serena has a massive floppy hat on. She's curled up on a bench, feet up on the bench, reading a book with headphones, I think, probably. Like, the whole thing. And this is, like, it's sad. Blair comes up, and she's a letter in her purse, and she wrote it to Serena, but she never sent it, and it says, and I'm sorry, Leighton Meester, Emmy.
Add her to my list.
She goes, dear Serena, my world is falling apart and you're the only one who would understand. My father left my mother for a 31-year-old model, a male model. I feel like screaming because I don't have anyone to talk to. You're gone. My dad's gone. Nate's acting weird. Where are you? Why don't you call? Why did you leave without saying goodbye?
You're supposed to
be my best friend. I miss you so much. Love, Blair.
The line where why don't you call line gets me every time.
Where are you? Why don't you call? Why did you leave without saying goodbye? That Nate's acting weird. Like, I feel like, it's
so sad to think about.
Yeah. And it's like, we needed this moment for Blair, for the non-Blair lovers. Like, you don't have this moment. You want to stop watching the show.
And Serena goes, why didn't you send it?
Hey, sir, at that point, I'm pushing Serena down the steps. What do you mean? Excuse me? Oh, my God. Blair goes, huh?
Serena's like, well, if you're going to ask me all those questions, I'm going to ask you that question.
She's like, can I at least have one? Are there enough questions left for the rest of us? God. I don't know. You used up all the questions on Earth today. Blair's like, why would I fucking send it? You knew. and you didn't even call me. You knew my dad left my mom. You knew what you fucking did. You knew why Nate was acting weird. Like,
exactly.
You knew, and you didn't fucking call. Like, oh, I'll never forgive Serena. That's me, Caroline, talking. I'll never forgive her.
And so Serena says, like, I didn't know how to be your friend, right?
She didn't know what to say after what I did. Like, I'm so sorry. And then Blair is like, well, Eric told me what happened. I guess your family has been going through a hard time, too. And we get this zoom out of them. And it's this awesome, beautiful scene where it's raining. Huh? And the two of them are standing. And it's this truce. And our Gossip Girl voiceover is, spotted in Central Park, two white flags waving. Could an Upper East Side peace accord be that far off? So what will it be? Truce or consequences? We all know one nation can't have two queens. What happens next? Only time will tell. XOXO, Gossip Girl. Do you want to read this? Now, by the way, there was a recap.
Wait,
and
really?
Next week, yup. And next week, we're starting them.
Wait, but I truly don't. I didn't get one. And I didn't get one for the next episode either.
I haven't watched the next one yet, but we did.
What are you watching it on?
Netflix.
Me too. Like, I truly, because I thought about it, but I truly didn't get one.
Well, you can read the synopsis for next week. And if we have one next week, I will do it. And then I'm going to call Phoebe on her bluff because we're going to be IRL for the next few episodes. And yeah.
Bad news, Blair. Bad episode for Serena. Blair's mother chooses her to be the face of her new clothing line. Serena and Dan remember that they come from very different worlds.
Back to the different world shit.
Nate and Chuck indulge in a boys' weekend to blow off steam after Ivy Week. Isn't that every weekend, boys?
Yeah, pretty much, yes.
That's every day after school, blowing off steam.
Pretty much, yeah. Is that it?
Yes. Now I am laying horizontal.
Yeah, we can all hear it, and someone's going to comment, Phoebe, why are you talking like you're in a library?
I'm not, though. I am talking at full volume.
Okay, well. Anyway, you guys, thank you so much for listening. Apologies for last week. It's been a trying time, to say the least.
You guys are lucky you're getting an episode this week. I'll just be honest.
You are very lucky. And this is Phoebe's birthday episode. So if you're listening on Thursday, December 18th, then you need to go send Phoebe a birthday wish because it's her birthday. And just remember that I already gave you your birthday gift and it was a cameo from Pat Regan.
Yes.
Which mom couldn't believe. She goes, I cannot believe people get paid to do that. And be unprepared is what she said about Pat Regan. And she goes, but Phil will love it. And I was like, well, I hope so. He snuck it in at the last minute. I'll tell you that. All this talk, you're like, get me, I already bought it. And I wait so long to get it. I will just say,
really?
Yeah, in terms of cameo experience, Andrea from Summer House.
Best one.
Blew it out of the water compared to Pat Regan. Like,
well, Pat,
I thought
Pat was better than Carl.
Okay, good. He was funny. Like, I was cracking up about his, like, but also you only get, like, this much to write in the box.
And that is crazy.
You can pay $17 for, like, 200 extra characters. And it's just, like, not enough to it's whatever. Wild. And, like, I gave him your Instagram. I was kind of hoping he would just, like, go there and, like, maybe, like, find out something about you. But he didn't, so. But that's fine. Did you like it?
Yes.
Did you watch it when you're feeling sad?
Uh-huh.
I was honestly like, thank God he pronounced your name right. Because that was probably my biggest fear, I would say.
Like, he is smart. Me getting defensive.
Yeah, you need to chill. Anyway, I'm glad you liked it. But Phoebe's birthday is on the 18th. She's turning what? What?
20.
Oh, 25. She's turning 25. That's called a quarter life crisis. And I can't wait to see what happens to her because, you know, my 25th year was COVID, so.
Oh my God, don't will that into existence.
I'm just saying that. I'm just saying it. Chill. I'm just saying it. That's what happened.
I invented chill.
Look, I invented chill. I can't do it right
now. Don't bring it up. And don't bring it up, Caroline. Don't bring up our conversation from earlier.
Well, you know, I can't.
It's time for the podcast to be over. Because Caroline's going to get mad at me.
Why?
Because I said something and pissed her off.
Well, you keep doing it. And you do it every time we talk. So, I mean, it's like... It's like, where's the news? All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you're enjoying your one and only source. I hope you're enjoying the Gossip Girl up. This felt like an old school episode. If you've been here from the beginning, you probably loved it. And if you're new to the Gossip Girl world with us, you might have been like, what's going on? And that's, I just want you to know, it's not my problem. Just stick around, right?
Yeah. We're get out of here.
No.
I just mean, if you don't like it, don't leave hate comments.
Well,
I'd rather you leave than leave hate comments.
But haters do make you famous. So just saying that. But you can follow us on Instagram at our brand new handle at your one and only source pod, which I freaking love, have to say.
No more
I love
zeros.
Not having any numbers in our hot handle. And our whole new aesthetic, in my opinion, is eating. I think Phoebe feels the same way.
I agree.
So thank you for all the positive feedback. Hope you're enjoying. Let us know what you think. Leave us a 5-star rating. Means a lot to us. And stay tuned for more updates and more episodes to come. That's it. We will see you next week.
Kill them all.
And I'm your sister. That's what I do.
That's what I do.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.